Gentlemen, the company is delivered by TriStar Moving. Big game for the Predators tonight. Terry Crisp in 25 minutes. Pregame in less than an hour. Puck drop 6 o'clock. Early start tonight at Carolina. Division leading Carolina. Caroline Fenton is with us. And one thing I've learned working with Caroline now for, gosh, what, two and a half weeks? Yeah, okay. Caroline does not like the idea of Mac Jones with the third overall pick to San Francisco. That much I know. I feel very comfortable that you do not like the idea of Mac Jones with the third overall pick to San Francisco.
I don't like the idea of Mac Jones getting picked third. The idea of him going to San Francisco makes sense. I just don't like the idea of Mac Jones being the third best player in this draft.
Okay, so everybody seems to be all worked up about Mac Jones with that third pick. Because a lot of people, myself included, don't think Mac Jones is the third best player in the draft, don't think that Mac Jones is the third best quarterback in the draft, and don't think that Mac Jones is better than Justin Fields. I don't think he's better than Justin Fields. I also was never a huge Justin Fields fan, so I'm not on the, you know, everybody who criticizes Justin Fields has, you know, an issue. Like, I understand the criticism of Justin Fields. But I was reading in The Athletic, Mike Sando, who's very well connected, was at ESPN for a long time before going to The Athletic, and does that quarterback tiers every year where he talks to general managers and coaches and executives. He talked to an active NFL general manager who is picking way outside of the top 10. And he asked the GM to predict what all would happen in the with the top 10 picks. And the GM does predict Mac Jones to Alabama. Here's what he writes. Here's what he says. Quote, "I'm confident Mac Jones is Kyle's guy," the GM said. Another exec thought the 49ers were open to more than one quarterback in this slot and that Lance made the most sense. But going back to the idea of what the general manager said, he goes, quote, "Kyle and his dad went along with it," in reference to picking RG3 in Washington, "but they still drafted Kirk Cousins in the fourth round, and all along they thought Cousins was better. Kyle comes to San Francisco, and who does he want? Cousins. In the end, he wants Cousins, and he sees Mac Jones having some of the same qualities. He doesn't fall in love with the physical traits." And then I thought about it. Everybody keeps talking about why Justin Fields would be a better fit for Kyle Shanahan than Mac Jones would be. And Justin Fields can run better. Justin Fields can throw better. Justin Fields is more physically gifted. But that GM says, that doesn't really matter much to Kyle Shanahan. And I thought back to the Shanahan system. The Shanahan system. Every team in the league is trying to hire a Shanahan system coach. We think back to Mike Shanahan in Washington. We've got Kyle Shanahan in Atlanta, San Francisco. We've got Sean McVay in Los Angeles. We've got Matt LaFleur in Green Bay. We've got Arthur Smith, again, all part of the same system in Atlanta. We've got Todd Downing here. This team runs this system. How many mobile quarterbacks have those guys had? How much has running mattered? Yeah, Ryan Tannehill can run a little bit, but nobody thinks that Ryan Tannehill is a mobile quarterback. Jimmy Garoppolo's not mobile. Jared Goff's not mobile. Aaron Rodgers can move a little bit, but he's not mobile. Those guys, they don't want a mobile quarterback. They don't even want a guy who improvises. Matt LaFleur doesn't want Aaron Rodgers to improvise. He wants him to improvise less. How many mobile quarterbacks has the Shanahan tree recently coached? And there's one person that comes to mind. Marcus Mariota. Marcus Mariota won the Heisman Trophy. Marcus Mariota was the second overall pick in the draft. Marcus Mariota went to a playoff game and won a playoff game before he entered into the Shanahan system. And he was never the same the day that Matt LaFleur showed up. You can argue that the reason it didn't work out for Marcus is not because he's mobile. It's because it just didn't work. It's because maybe Marcus didn't have what it took to be the leader of the team. It could be because Marcus was getting his elbow banged around so much and was injured before he entered this system. that he was never really 100%. He always was a little gun shy. You could have said that. You could say Marcus doesn't have the personality to be a star quarterback. You could say Marcus can't throw the ball well enough to be a star quarterback. But Marcus was pretty well received coming out. The throwing mechanics, the ability, the accuracy, all kind of seemed to be pointing in the right direction when Mariota was a draft prospect. Go back and look at the highlights of Marcus in 2016 with the Titans. In his second year in the league, the 26 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, the year he had. Look at him in the Shanahan system. Look at him under LaFleur. Look at him for the month that he was the starting quarterback under Arthur Smith. It didn't work. So people can tell you, hey, Justin Fields is better than Mac Jones. Okay. San Francisco might think that Justin Fields is better than Mac Jones. But is that what the Shanahan system does? Is that what those guys do? Did you notice the team they jumped in the draft? They didn't jump ahead of the New York Jets in order to draft the quarterback they wanted. They didn't try to go to the Jets to number 2 to get Zach Wilson. They jumped Atlanta at 4. And you're thinking, why does that matter that they jumped Atlanta at 4? Because don't you think Mac Jones would have been available if they had swapped with the Bengals at 5 and wouldn't have had to give up what they gave up to the Dolphins? In fact, moving from 12 to 3 cost them 2 other first-round picks. When the Dolphins moved from 12 to 6, it cost them 1 other first-round pick. So why didn't they just call the Eagles and move to 6 and draft Mac Jones? And I'll tell you why. Because I think Shanahan is worried that Arthur Smith, a Shanahan tree coach, would take Mac Jones at 4. What's the comparison we hear a lot about Mac Jones? We hear that the Mac Jones comparison is, you know, he's a lot like Matt Ryan was for Shanahan in Atlanta, who's Arthur Smith got right now. Don't you think, Arthur, don't you think you would love the ability if you were the Falcons? And let's say it's a fair comp, Mac Jones to Matt Ryan. Don't you think you would love to take Mac Jones, sit him on the bench, have Matt Ryan be the quarterback, and Mac Jones learns from Matt Ryan? And there's no pressure to play Mac Jones, and there's no shame if you lose with Matt Ryan, because you can always say, hey, eventually, Mac's the guy. Shanahan may think Fields is better. My whole point is, he doesn't think Fields is better for him. He's convinced Jones is what he wants. He wants Cousins. He wants Ryan. He wants Jones. So he trades up to guarantee he gets him, even if he's not as good as the other guy. But it's good for him. It's kind of like dating, right? Like nobody ever says, go get the best girl or guy. They say, go get the best girl or guy for you. And if it's the best girl or guy for you, wouldn't you try to put everything you had into it to get that person? To be with that person? That's what Shanahan did. He identified Mac Jones as the best quarterback for him and then did what it took to make sure he gets him. I'm not saying I like it. I'm not saying I do it. I'm just saying that's what I think he's doing. When a general manager says, no, Mac's the guy. He's the Cousins guy that Shanahan wants. Okay, now it's like I understand it more, Caroline.
Yeah, and I thought, well, you know, Mac Jones can be a mobile quarterback. Like, Mac Jones can be a dual threat. And then I looked up his stats from this past season. 14 rushing yards. 14 rushing yards. And I don't think I realized just how comfortable Mac Jones was just sitting back and throwing the ball. 14 rushing yards to 4,500 passing yards. And of course, he's a quarterback. He's going to have a significant amount of passing yards. But just when you compare that to Justin Fields, who has 383 rushing yards and 5 rushing touchdowns in 10 games.
Well, I think part of it, too, is Nick Saban, you know, Mac Jones was a backup quarterback at Alabama. And just like
Which isn't a bad thing to be a backup quarterback at Alabama.
It's not. But just like Jacob Coker is a backup quarterback at Alabama. He won a national title because he turned around and gave the ball to Derrick Henry 50 times a game. Mac Jones was a backup. I don't even think Mac Jones was in their long-term plans at Alabama. I could be wrong. But, like, Nick Saban does not want a coach freestyling. I don't think Saban felt comfortable with Tua. Because, remember, Tua would run around and then chuck the ball down the field. I don't think Saban liked that. Some coaches cannot do the improv. Andy Reid can do it with Patrick Mahomes. You can't coach Patrick Mahomes if you're going to try to get him to be a robot like Sean McVay wants Matthew Stafford to be. You can't do it. I don't know enough about Justin Fields to say whether Fields could do that or not. I feel comfortable in saying Mac Jones wouldn't have been put in the Alabama lineup if he wasn't going to do exactly what Steve Sarkisian and Nick Saban told him to do. And I think that's what Shanahan wants. So the more I think about the mobile quarterbacks, and everybody said, well, hey, Fields is way freaking better than Jones. He might be. Shanahan might know that, and it still may not matter to him. And think about the Shanahan system. They didn't trade all those first-round picks in L.A. to get a guy who's mobile. They got Matthew Stafford. They didn't trade away that second-round pick to New England to get a guy who was mobile. They got Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, they don't want the they do not want the mobile quarterback in the Shanahan system. Matt LaFleur tried it with the RPOs with Mariota. Mariota got hurt, and I think maybe Mariota and RG3 scared them away from the physical gifts of the quarterback.
I've seen a lot of mock drafts mocking Justin Fields to Atlanta, and of course these aren't Bible, but it's just interesting to see. Do you think that that same logic that you're applying Mac Jones to the 49ers, do you think that they would apply that same logic with Fields to the Falcons?
I think, you know, what did we see after San Francisco moved up? We saw the chatter was Atlanta's willing to deal number four. I wonder if that is a smokescreen. I wonder if that is a, hey, seriously, you can get the best player in the draft who's not a quarterback if you want this pick. Maybe it's a message to the Dolphins. Hey, move up to four and you'll get who you want. Cincinnati won't take it. So if you want Kyle Pitts, if you want Jamar Chase, if you want Penei Sewell, you'll get that guy before Joe Burrow can convince them to draft Jamar Chase, before they realize the need at left tackle and they draft Penei Sewell to be their next left tackle for 10 years. But yeah, I think that's a good point. You know, is Atlanta in on Fields? I don't know. But it did kind of make sense that we didn't hear much out of Atlanta about trading the pick until after San Francisco moved ahead of them. So maybe that was the whole plan. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025 coming up next. It's a big game tonight with Carolina. It's never been big before with the Predators. Like a big game with Carolina. And I think we need to start changing how we feel about Carolina and how we watch tonight's game. I'll explain next. Right here on Stillman & Company. Hey, T-Mobile and ESPN 1025 The Game have teamed up to give away a hockey home gating party. Text the word goalie. You heard that right there. Text the word goalie to 615-737-1025 now and enter for a chance to win a Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, dessert from Nothing Bundt Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. You must be 21 or older to enter. Stillman & Company is live from the wholesaling studio powered by RumbleOn.com, and we are delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Coach, this is a Carolina team certainly at the top of the division, but obviously we know what your team has been able to do lately as well. What is important tonight in this one, and how do you keep things going against this club here? Another test against one of the top teams.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great challenge for our group. I think that Carolina, top five team in the league, they're top of the Central Division right now. And, you know, they're very competitive. I mean, they're a group that, you know, they're competitive in their lineup. They play fast. You know, you can tell they all play on the same page with how they want to play tactically. So for us, we know it's going to be a speed game. There has to be a lot of, you know, competitiveness and work ethic for us. And, you know, we think that this is a good test. We haven't beat them yet this year. I think we're 0-3 against Carolina. So, you know, we need to make sure that we're continuing to build our game and continue to get wins, but, you know, really have a strong focus level on this two game set of getting to our game to a higher level.
Stillman & Company delivered by TriStar Moving tonight. Carolina, Terry Crisp in about, I don't know, 5-6 minutes will join us on the program. Carolina, you know, I always would joke around about, you know, there's an article about this show on Barrett Sports Media, and it was talking about the Predators. And, I mean, I think there are people in this town that cover sports that are generalists, talking heads, that just ignore the Predators. They think it doesn't matter. I don't know why they think it doesn't matter. the audience has shown, this show has been built a lot on the Titans and the Predators, and we've been rather successful. And we embrace the Predators, and we talk about it all the time. But some people just literally ignore it. Like, either they don't know how to talk it, or they won't talk it. Or they're told not to talk it. I don't know. And it's funny because I was asked a question about, you know, people would say, like, in Nashville, how do you talk about the Predators every day? And I think I had a line in there, Caroline, I don't know if you liked it, where I said, you may wear khakis and jeans all the time, but if you work at Lululemon, you better learn how to sell yoga pants.
I saw that.
And
it's true.
So, I mean, I look at it like, hey, if the fans are going to invest 3 hours of their time watching the game tonight, and I think a lot of you are, then we might as well figure out enough about it to be able to talk about it. And I see all the data. I see all the info. I know how much you all care about the Predators. But I would always joke back in the day about, okay, what do you do for like a Thursday night game against Calgary? How do you drum up, you know, interest in that game on the air? And Carolina is one of the teams I would throw in there that, you know, a Thursday night against Carolina in normal times, like, no, this is a big game. And not only is it a big game, I think Carolina is a team we need to start getting to know. You know, when you were going back and forth in the playoffs with Chicago, everybody knew about Taves and Kane and Keith and Seabrook and Hjalmarsson and Hossa and Crawford, and you knew about them because you played them all the time. You played them in the playoffs. When you played Winnipeg, the year that you were the two best teams in the league, we knew all about Laine and Wheeler and Byfuglien and Hellebuyck, and you, those rivalries developed when they played Chicago. In 2018, that was when I think all of us got a first, you know, a glimpse of McKinnon and Rantanen and Landeskog and that group. And so, oh, they'll be pretty good in a couple of years. Right now, they're probably the best team in the league. And I look at Carolina, and they're probably right in that tier. Greg Wyshynski just wrote at ESPN Plus. They're in that tier right below the juggernauts, right below Tampa and Washington and those kind of teams. But make no mistake, they're good. Sebastian Aho is good. Tara Vinen is good. They were in the Eastern Conference Final in 2018. Like, I know you've only played them three times this year. Once was the third game of the season. Get to know the Carolina Hurricanes. I keep saying Panthers, Florida. Get to know the Carolina Hurricanes. Just like you're kind of starting to get to know Tampa Bay a little bit. Stamkos, Kucherov, Hedman, Point, Barkov, Vasilevsky. Like, get to know Carolina tonight, because right now, if the playoffs were today, that would be your opponent in the first round. You would get the Carolina Hurricanes. So I know that maybe some people hear tonight, Preds, Carolina, and you're like, okay, it's Carolina. Like, okay, whatever. You know, just like you would have said in a normal year. Carolina, Montreal, Toronto, Calgary. Like, you know, the teams are like, whatever. That play San Jose on a, okay, whatever. It's not Chicago. It's not Winnipeg. It's not Pittsburgh. It's not Washington. It's not, no, trust me. It's a big one tonight. And get to know Carolina. Get to know them tonight. And by the way, the one thing I will say, if they go toe-to-toe with these guys and they beat them, that is a feather in the cap tonight.
Right, and it's not just big because it's Carolina. I mean, the timeline right now is crunch time. It's a very, very important time. You have to get those points, and you have to have that certain mindset going into the playoffs. So, yeah, it's Carolina, maybe a team that the Predators would have ignored or maybe fans would have just thrown off before. But, I mean, at this point in the season, it doesn't matter who you're playing. You have to win.
Terry Crisp will join us next. By the way, I got ESPN Plus. I believe that means that I can get. I'm not sure. But I think that means tonight I can also watch – Dallas play Columbus. I think that game is on ESPN Plus. I could be wrong. I don't know. I mean, I'll be focused on the Preds game. 615-737-1025. Crispy joins us coming up next. Smashville Live. Boy, they had a great one last night with Lindsay and Colin Wilson and that crew. Smashville Live is every Wednesday night right here on ESPN 1025 The Game, featuring former Preds players, current Preds players, and other special guests. You can also watch the show online via 1025 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. Smashville Live is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. To view or listen to past shows, go to thegamenashville.com/smashville live. Stillman and Company tonight, a big one against Carolina. I started the show off on this, but the Predators right now, 62% chance to make the playoffs. They are expected to finish with 63 points on the season. Dallas is expected to finish with 61. That is one game difference. Every game matters. Terry Crisp joins us now in the program. Of course, pre-post games, intermissions on Bally Sports. Crispy, let's start with this. What do we make about this run the Predators are on and kind of the little push of encouragement David Poile gave them on Monday by not shipping anybody out at the trade deadline?
You know what it tells me, what it really shows me still is the fact that the team believes in themselves. The coaching staff have really got them believing in themselves and listening to the coaching staff for a change now and doing what they've been asking for the last month and a half or 2 months. And, of course, David Poile has always been a loyal person and family team first, or And he doesn't do knee-jerk decisions, David, mostly. So when they were thinking about it, you know, I'd love to have heard the backroom stories just before leading up to the draft as to who was offering what for on our team and who was wanting to take who. And the nice part about that whole thing when it finally came down was that David Poile was in a position finally, the team put him in, where he could make his own decisions. He didn't have to be forced into something he didn't want to do or didn't believe in. And that's what I liked when the trading deadline was over. Hey, it's easy to make trades. I mean, you can move guys around like on a checkerboard or whatever and take your chances it's going to turn out or not. But to stay with them and to see what they're doing right now, I think they made the right move. No, in fact, I feel firmly they did. And why I really like it is because the young kids are doing it, are up-and-comers. Without a lot of the veterans in the lineup, these kids are showing, like I said the last time, they're showing energy. They got a lot of jump to them. I mean, Janot comes in, Olivier comes in, Trennan comes in, Sisson jumps up, Tolvanen comes of age. Go on down the line. I like the makeup of our hockey club now.
What do you think about Tuesday night, Crispy? I mean, to think about this team and the encouragement they got Monday playing that Tampa Bay team, and I know they weren't playing their starting goalie, and I know Stamkos was out, but, I mean, that's the defending champions who you may see in the first round. And it wasn't one of those games we've talked about where Saros had to just play out of his mind. He didn't need to. That game was tilted totally towards Tampa Bay's end, maybe the most impressive win of the year. What did you make of it?
I liked it. What it showed to me also was the fact that they weren't resting on their laurels. They weren't standing around patting themselves on the back and, oh boy, we missed the trade time. We're still here. We're okay. We're not going anywhere. That wasn't on their minds. Their minds were that they needed the points, and they needed one of the best teams to go out against Tampa Bay to do it against, and they did it in style. I mean, they skated. They forechecked. They went to the net. And they were getting their shots on net. They were coming back hard to help out in our defensive zone. And the biggest thing I liked is we were controlling the neutral zone. In a lot of games, you've heard the coaches say that the neutral zone has been our battle zone, that we couldn't get through it. And we couldn't stop them coming the other way through it. Now we're settling down. Now we're starting to control and make plays both ways in the neutral zone. So overall, as a team, yeah, they're starting to gel. But again, the job is only half done. Now we have to see. Now we're going to come into the litmus test coming down this stretch run. Next two games, Carolina, which I consider, this, in my mind, the best of the top three between Florida and Tampa and the team. They got speed, they got skill, they got goaltending, and they're going to come at you in waves. So these next two games are going to tell us a lot.
Well, it's funny you transitioned to that for me because I started today's show talking about tonight's game. And it was the same thing I just brought up. Right now, according to Money Puck, the Predators are expected to finish literally 2 points ahead of Dallas. Dallas gets Columbus for two and then four with Detroit. I mean, I'm not saying tonight's a must win, but I do think that we're going to learn both, hey, how do they match up with a team as good as Carolina? And you're going to need the win. You're going to need the points because Dallas is going to reel off some wins, and Dallas is not that far behind you, Crispy. I think tonight's game may be one of the most underrated for how big it is.
You know what? In a lot of people's, it might be, but I can tell you right now, not in the coach's mind, sure hasn't been. They looked at their schedule, and once we're done with Carolina, with two games with them, which are going to be just like royal battles, we got to go three against Chicago. And to me, those three are going to be just as important as these first two. The first two here with Carolina is going to prove to us how good or how close we are to running with the big dogs. If it was it just a mirage, or are we that good that we can hang in there? And when that's over, Chicago, and they're the ones on our tail now. Chicago scares me more than Dallas right now, I'll tell you. They do. So the three games against Chicago, to me, is going to be just as important as these two against Carolina.
Crispy, last Thursday we talked, and then the Predators played Detroit. And there was that interesting kind of, you know, the first period I almost fell asleep. The second period we had that interesting moment where they hit Matt Benning and Matthew Olivier came to his defense and they reviewed the penalty and they basically, you know, almost matched Olivier out of the game. They dropped the penalty from a major to a minor. John Hines got a penalty. I'm not sure I can remember seeing a Preds coach do that recently. John Hines gets a penalty. They kill it off and then they smoke Detroit. I thought that was a big moment. You know, I thought that was a big moment where the team rallied together and they rallied behind the coach and they killed off the penalty and the coach stood up for the team. What did you think of that, and how much of that do you feel right now with this group?
Well said, Stiller. I like what you just said. That whole thing you just said, I totally concur with you, and it is. It's a good feeling. And when I saw Lily, because I've seen too many of our guys get smoked, like when Yossi got smoked and Harvey's got smoked, no retaliation, nobody said. They all just looked around and said, oh, well, he'll be okay. No, Olivia doesn't stand for that. Trennan doesn't. I bet you Janot will not either. These are the guys we've been lacking. This is what we've been looking for all along. And when they fit it into our hockey club, then the other guys picked it up. Now Sissons is banging everything in sight. And Benning always has been. He's not that big, but he's been doing his best. And then when Coach Hines, and you know what? He had every right to lose his temper on the bench. And when you do it, you're doing it in the heat of the moment. As a coach, I've known that. You're sort of mad at yourself afterwards, but at the time, you felt something had to be done. Something needed because we were getting taken to the woodshed by the officials or whatever. And then the guys, you're right. They just pulled on the rope all in the same direction, just took it away from Detroit from the rest of that game. But that's the whole feeling that's permeating now through this club. In their dressing room, you hear them talking. You see them when they come out and start to play. They now feel that they're a team, that they've come together, that the system that they've all been preaching and coaching and trying to teach has fell into place. It's proven that it's successful. Okay, boys, let's take it from here and go.
Crispy is our guest, Terry Crisp. Crispy, what are some matchups tonight that you're going to be watching and focused on? Because, again, Carolina, I was saying this in the last segment, it may not feel like Winnipeg, it may not feel like Chicago, it may not feel like Colorado or St. Louis, but they are right now, given the circumstances, they are our Winnipegs and St. Louis's. And tonight they got great players over there at Carolina. What do you think of tonight's game and kind of the matchup?
They got speed. They got speed to burn. They're one of the best transition games. We've talked about the Lightning being a good transition team. This team is one of the best at it. They're quick. They're fast. And suddenly you're in their defensive zone. Before you realize it, they've made one or two plays, and they're coming. And you know what they'll be? Odd man rushes. They'll pick up on two-on-ones, three-on-twos. Hell, they'll have four-on-twos because their defense will jump up in the rush. They're that fast and that quick, and they're skilled. I mean, you've got Aho. You've got Trocheck. You've got Stahl. Stezhnikov, who we always ignore, but he's just as deadly as any of them out there. Their defense corps is solid. On Hamilton, tonight I was looking, going over, and I said, you know, you got Hamilton and Yossi. Tonight, I'm picturing going head-to-head. Both are team leaders on their team from the back end, on the fore end, and whatever. The Hurricanes are well coached. Rod Brind'Amour is a solid coach out there. And they can play any way you want. They can play speed. They can play tough with you. They can score goals against you. Yeah, I said it when we started. This is a good litmus test for our hockey club.
Terry Crisp, we will see you very shortly on the pregame show on Bally Sports. Crispy, always good to talk to you. Take care.
Thanks, Giller. Stay safe, eh?
Yep, always. Just for you, Terry Crisp, joining us on the program as he does on every Thursday at this time. Okay, it's time to put the money out. It's time for Carolines.
Get in on the action. Put the money on the mahogany. What's on tap on the sports books? It's time to break it all down with Carolines. Here on Stillman & Company.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
I would like to thank the New York Mets yesterday for just totally making us look like morons as we took Zach Wheeler and the Phillies, and then they got lit up. But there's only so much you can do with it. Do we have tonight's Preds game? Can we bet on tonight's Preds game in Carolines?
Of course. And I actually have a bit of a hockey-themed Carolines tonight in honor of the big game.
Okay.
And one of my good friends is a Mets fan. He texted me last night, "How's that Philly pick working out for you?"
Yeah, not good.
I was like, "Oh, wait, what? Me? I didn't pick the Phillies. Not me." But tonight, I'm going to take the Preds plus 1.5.
Okay, 1.5's the number. You heard Crispy talk about how good Carolina is. And I think that, you know, they're really good. I think that the Preds have got to get one of the two. And I think it's going to be hard. I think tonight's going to be a close game. I'm going to take Carolina minus 1.5. And here's why. I think it's a one-goal game. I think Carolina wins 2-1, but then they get an empty netter to win 3-1 as the final. So I think that this game tonight is going to be neck and neck. And the roster the Preds are putting out, you know, they're not putting out Forsberg right now. They're not putting out Duchesne. They're not putting out Fabbro. They're not putting out Tolvanen. They're not putting out Tomasino. They just can't right now. If they had those guys, then I'd really want to see them play Carolina, because Crispy's right. It is a legitimate possible first-round matchup.
Yeah, I agree. And I think plus 1.5, because I think that if the Preds do happen to lose, I don't think it'll be by much. And if they do happen to win, I also don't think it'll be by much. I agree. I think it'll be very neck and neck.
Oh, my God. It'd be nice to get this one, though. And then Thursday,
it would be nice to get this one.
Then Saturday, we can kick our feet up. And
chill a little bit on Saturday.
Enjoy Saturday.
Yes. And if it's a win, then it's great. Even better. Cheering on top. Also, Islanders Bruins tonight. I'm going to take the Islanders money line. They're coming in with a 3-day break. Their goaltending percentage is currently .922. Like that. And the Bruins are coming off of a shootout win versus the Sabres. So the fact that the Bruins went to a shootout with the Sabres, one of the worst teams in the league, if not the worst, then I feel very good about the Islanders' shot. Islanders have also beaten the Bruins all 5 meetings this season, so I'm taking the Islanders' money line.
The Bruins remind me a lot of the 2019 Preds, where we knew, I mean, they were in the Cup final 2 seasons prior. You know, like, there was something about that group that was still there. But, you know, this Boston team, they still have Pastrnak and Bergeron and Marchand and Krejci and McAvoy and Tuukka Rask, although he's been out. They've been playing the Swayman kid, their rookie goalie that they love a lot. They've been playing him. The Islanders, I think, are a legitimate contender. You know, like,
the
I think
also have Taylor Hall.
Yeah, but I can't. The Jadeveon Clowney of the NHL. I'll take the Bruins just to be different. I'll take the Bruins minus 120. Swayman's playing pretty well, but there's something about the Bruins that just doesn't feel right. Just doesn't seem right with them.
They're not quite vibing.
No, they are not vibing. They are not the Predators who are vibing.
I also have Sabres Capitals and taking Caps minus 1.5. They're 3-0 in their last 3. They've won 14 and lost only 5 on home ice. Sabres are 6-12 on the road. And the Caps have beaten the Sabres 6 times this year, half of those 6 times by multiple goals.
Caps,
I mean, the Caps are just great.
Caps at home minus 355. Doesn't seem like you're going to make a lot of money from that, but it
I'm
does
taking
seem,
a minus 1.5.
It does feel like a pretty sure bet, though.
Yeah.
I'll take the Capitals money line. And those are Carolines. There we go. Coming up next, Predators game day. You heard right there. I guess I'm picking Carolina tonight. But maybe it's just so I don't set myself up. By the way, I got ESPN Plus, so it's great because this game starts at 6. And then Stars and Blue Jackets is on ESPN Plus tonight at 7:30. So I can watch the end of the Preds game and then probably the second and third periods of Dallas and Columbus. How nice would it be if the Predators get a win tonight against Carolina, that really good Carolina team, and then Dallas, you know, poops their pants and loses to Columbus?
Would you be ready to say that the playoffs are good and locked at that point?
No.
Okay.
No. Money pucks. Again, 63 points expectation for the Predators, 61 points for Dallas. I don't feel safe about anything there. 615-737-1025, Predators game day, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville, is next. One of the things I love about betting on basketball with the FanDuel Sportsbook app, my official sportsbook app is I'm always finding new player props or game props I like. What's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook is you can combine these props with other bets from the same game to score an even bigger payout. It's called a same-game parlay bet, and you can only find them on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Money line, point spread, first basket score, player points, they've got it all. If you haven't tried FanDuel Sportsbook yet, new users get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. Just place a bet, and FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 in site credit if you don't win. And right now, new and existing users get up to $25 in site credit back each day if your parlay falls one leg short with same-game parlay insurance. You heard that right. Every single day. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use our promo code JGM at signup. That's FanDuel Sportsbook app, promo code JGM. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issue is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
It's Hockey Night in Smashville.
The flex back for Duchene. His shot stopped. And the score!
What are the keys to victory tonight? What's being said in the locker room? Where do the Preds reside in the Central Division standings? Jared Stillman has the latest now. With Preds Game Day on Stillman & Company. Brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. This is Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Predators Game Day is presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. The Nashville Predators 24-19-1. Good for 49 points on the road at the Carolina Hurricanes 27-10-4. Good for 58 points. And they are in first place in the Central Division. Why is this a big deal? Because tonight the Columbus Blue Jackets play the Dallas Stars. The Detroit Red Wings play the Chicago Blackhawks. If you're a scoreboard watcher, and I am, you need to be rooting for Columbus and for Detroit, the two worst teams in the division. We take a look at the standings. The Hurricanes in first place with 58 points. Tampa Bay right behind them, 58 points. And Carolina right there with 58 points. The Predators are in fourth place with 49 points. The Blackhawks have a game in hand. They're 4 points behind at 45. And the Stars with three games in hand are 7 points behind with 42. John Hines, as we have the coach's take, taking a look at the Carolina Hurricanes getting set for them tonight. Here's what he said.
It's a great challenge for our group. I think that Carolina, top five team in the league, they're top of the Central Division right now. And, you know, they're very competitive. I mean, they're a group that, you know, they're competitive in their lineup. They play fast. You know, you can tell they all play on the same page with how they want to play tactically. So for us, we know it's going to be a speed game. There has to be a lot of, you know, competitiveness and work ethic for us. And, you know, we think that this is a good test. We haven't beat them yet this year. I think we're 0-3 against Carolina. So, you know, we need to make sure that we're continuing to build our game and continue to get wins, but, you know, really have a strong focus level on this two game set of getting to our game to a higher level.
Meanwhile, roster news for the Predators. They've recalled forwards Tanner Jeannot and Rem Pitlick from the taxi squad. Ellie Tolvanen, obviously he's out. Philip Tomasino, who I meant to say. Tomasino is on the taxi squad, will not play tonight. Same lineup as Tampa Bay, but Hines said that there is a chance that we will see Tomasino on this road trip. He is the Predators' number one prospect. Caroline Fenton, what are you watching for tonight as the Predators take on the Carolina Hurricanes right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game?
I think I need to see what I saw against Tampa Bay in that first game. If there is a loss, I need to see, okay, yes, it was a loss, but did they play well? Did they look cohesive as a team?
I thought Crispy brought up an interesting point when he said that he thinks that Carolina is the best of the three teams.
There's a point to be made.
Oh, sure. Talking about Tampa Bay, Florida, Carolina. I think there's probably something to that. I mean, again, this is a team that was in the Eastern Conference Final just a year and a half ago or 2 years ago or whatever. I mean, they are not a bad team, and they've got good players. Aho, Teravainen, Dougie Hamilton. Like, they're a good team. And Peter Mrazek, and I don't know if he's in tonight, but he has been Preds kryptonite over his career. So tonight, right here, ESPN 102.5, the game pregame coverage beginning in about 5 minutes. That's going to do it for us. We are out of here. Caroline, we will be back tomorrow at 2. Full recap of tonight's big game on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. We will see you then. Darren McFarland is coming up next. Preds pregame, and then, of course, the voice of the National Predators, Pete Weber, at 6 o'clock with the call. We'll see you.